with you this morning. Turn with us to the book of Joshua. You may be in your homes, and so I encourage you to get your Bible out and get you a pencil or pen and make some notes that you can go through it through the week. The book of Joshua, chapter number 1. We'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God, found in the book of Joshua, chapter number 1. When you get there, let me know and say amen this morning. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Aren't you glad that God's still in the giving business? Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, watch this, that have I given unto you. Don't think you've done nothing on the account of yourself. It's the God of heaven given to us what we have this morning. He said, I don't want you to forget, whatever you've got, I've given it to you. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you. We thank you for this time together that you've allotted us to be here today. I want to pray for those families, God, that need a special touch this morning. God, those that are listening by way of the broadcast, I pray that you'd touch their hearts this morning, help them with their needs. And God, the people here in our church today, I pray you'd speak to our hearts through the Word of God. I pray for America today. I pray for our president and vice president. I pray, oh God, you would hedge them in, give them direction and power and unction. Oh God, I pray for our nation today in this hour. Help our church and church people. Touch all my preacher friends today. I pray you'd preach through us now a few minutes. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach this morning out of the book of Joshua chapter 1 from this phrase. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan. I preached last week on the church in the wilderness, but this morning I'd like to use this text out of Joshua 1 and preach simply on this thought, moving forward. Moving forward. Now you'll notice in verse number 2, there is a stated truth. I alluded to this last Sunday morning. I thank for our church body. If there's ever been a day and an hour when I feel like that the Lord has given us something for a church body, for a people that love God, I believe we can find some great truths out of Joshua chapter number 1. I realize when all of this chaos first started some 12 weeks or so ago, I was in Hartsville, Alabama, sitting, fixing to get up to preach, and God gave me a message out of the book of Acts, chapter 28. And I preached on this thought before this pandemic hit, on being unshakable in shakable times. I've talked with Brother Mike and we prayed and we consulted. I've asked people to pray for me that God would give me a word for this church and for my heart and for your hearts. Can I tell you, America still needs a preacher this morning. We don't need politicians. We don't need a new platform. We need men of God to just rear back without any type of apology and preach what thus saith the Word of God. So I said all that to say this. Around 12 weeks ago, I believe the Lord gave me one of the greatest messages He's ever given me on being unshakable in shakable times. But I feel like in these days, the Lord has given me a fresh word out of Joshua 1 to our church. And I want to preach this morning on moving forward. Now look in verse number 2. There was a stated truth. Moses, my servant, is dead. You'll notice there was a death that had happened. Moses has died. Well, who was Moses? Moses was one of the greatest men in the Bible. Matter of fact, Moses had opportunities that you and I have never been able to have. He talked to God face to face. He's seen God move mountains. He's seen God part seas. He's seen God rain manna out of heaven. He's seen God fill the camp of Israel up with quail. Moses seen the glory and the presence of God, and he was a friend of God. But yet Moses was disobedient. Moses lashed out in anger and he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And by Moses' disobedience, God did not allow him to go into the promised land. But let me tell you, just because one tree falls, God's always got another tree that's been a raising up. And so here he had Joshua. And so within this congregation, there was this stated truth. Moses, my servant, has died. There was a disturbance. Everything they were used to had suddenly changed. Normal was no longer normal. Could you imagine being in this camp and everything that you looked to was by Moses' leadership and direction? I'm going to tell you, I believe one of the greatest problems the people of Israel had is they had so much faith in Moses. And let me tell you something, there's nothing wrong with having confidence in your leadership. There's nothing wrong with you holding their office in high esteem. The Bible teaches us that. But you always remember this country preacher told you this. Don't never put your faith in a man. You put it in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, there was this stated truth. Moses, my servant, is dead. There was a decease. There was a disturbance. There was a great dependence. Normal was gone. Things that were used to be had passed. There was a destination. God was taking a nation where they had never been before. I believe with all my heart, God has taken America to a place they've never been before. Let me tell you something. People think that they're running the country. People think that they're running this world, but honey, let me tell you, I done read my Bible. God's sitting on His throne, and God's gonna have the last word in the situation. Yes, God, listen to me. Yes, God is allowing things to happen, but He's got a new destination in mind. And I'm gonna tell you, I'm glad I'm headed to the promised land this morning. And certainly we see this moving forward. There was a stated truth. There was a decease, a disturbance. There was a dependence. There was a destination. But there's also a discovery. Self-reliance was gone. And this is what they seen. They needed God. We need God this morning. We need God. We can't pull out a manual. We can't pull out a publication to fix our situation. God is the answer to where we live today. God's always been the answer to wherever generations ever lived. And can we get back to asking God and depending upon God for what we need in this day and this hour? I felt His presence when we were singing. I'm glad God is with us. And so this stated truth. But look now in verse 2. Look at this specific time. It said in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. There was action in this specific time. Now. Right now, they are commanded to do something. They would love to have just sat there and died, many of them. But God had a destination in mind. Can I tell you, every family here, God's got a destination in mind for you. God is taking you someplace, and I wouldn't want to miss it being bogged down at Jordan. Now, this specific time, now therefore, there's action now. But what's this? There's assessment. The writer, the Spirit of God put this in. Therefore, arise. Not only this action, but this assessment, this word therefore. You know what it means? For that reason. Therefore. Moses has died, things has changed. And for that reason, now arise. If there's ever been a time when the church needs to let their light shine, it is in this day, in this hour. I'm glad there's still some young people. I heard some of our membership yesterday at a graduation that was taped. And my goodness, what a speech they delivered. That there they was promoting God and doing good deeds and changing the world. Can I tell you, church, it's not time that we lay down. It's time that we rise up and shine like God wants us to shine. People need direction. Your children need direction. Our community needs direction. So this specific time, this action now. Young people, this is one of the greatest times that's ever been known to be a Christian. I'm old school. I was raised up the old-fashioned way. I was raised up where if you back-talked your mom and dad, you got your tail tore up. Somebody say amen. I was raised up at a time when if a man was going to have something, he had to work for it and apply himself to obtain it. I came up in the school of preaching where to get your Bible and go out under a separated place, find God, let Him fill you up good and just go and say, what thus saith the Word of God? I come up in a time where you'd have church together and keep your altars open and preach hell sweet and hell hot and Jesus is good and be kind to everybody and watch the Holy Ghost sweep the whole place. Can I tell you, in this day and this hour, if we've ever needed a church to shine, that we've needed a Christian to shine, your children and your family in this generation is counting on you. You see, this is not the only dark times that the people of God have experienced. Here, the nation of Israel, they experienced one of the greatest changes that had ever happened in their life. Many were sitting there at this specific time. There's this action. Now, right now. What are we going to do right now? What's our opportunities right now? I've talked with pastors this week. Talking about Moses is dead. Arise and going over this Jordan. Can I tell you, normal will never be normal again. Quit looking for being normal again. I said last Sunday. I'm glad some things are not normal. I'm glad we don't come in with an old sober attitude and say, well, it's going to be the same old thing. Can we put our faith back in God and the Word of God and see Him do great things in this day and this hour? Now, church, now. What a time to be a Christian. Now. I had talked to them that as we have Moses has died and we're going over into new areas. We must realize that things change and we must change with some things. I'm not talking about
quit preaching the Bible. I'm not talking about changing doctrine. I'm not even talking about changing our service. But we've got to realize we have new opportunities. There's a Facebook now reaching 800 to 1,500 more people a Sunday that's never happened in all the days of ministry. Can I tell you, God has a reason to have us here. Now. So this specific time, there was action now. I want to ask you something. What can you do right now? There's this assessment, therefore, or for that reason. For that reason, this is why I want you to arise. But then there's advancement, arise. And it takes me on into my message. Not only this stated truth, this specific time, but this sober task. Look at it. This sober task. God's asked them something to do something that's really hard. He says, this is what I want you to do. Arise. And if you underline your Bible, go over this Jordan. This Jordan. This sober task. Look at the news of this task. Do you realize what Jordan was? Jordan was overflowing with his banks. This was just not a little tributary creek that's feeding the sea. This thing is rumbling. This thing is overflowing his bank. God has brought him to a place at Jordan. Can I tell you, there may be a time in your life when you've got up against something that you just can't get over. You just can't get across. It may be in your marriage. It may be with your children. It may be with your friends. You know, there were some things that I've noticed this about God and our Jordans. There were some things that had happened to me about 4 or 5 years ago. Brother Mike is aware of those. My wife, a few other people. And it was, Brother David, just a Jordan that I couldn't get over. This thing was so big. It kept me from going into where God wanted me to go. But the other week, I was on a Kubota tractor in my field bush hogging. And I got a phone call, and I'll be honest, when I got the phone call, I drew up, Brother Mark. I throwed that tractor in neutral and cut my bush hog off and said hello. And you know what they said? Preacher, I'm sorry. Boy, it's so good that I can look today and I'm not stopped by that Jordan. It's so freeing to get across whatever's been holding you back. And so here in this task that they were given, this Jordan, this thing they must get across, this sober task, not on the news of Jordan. And let me talk to something right here real quick. Since we're not having church tonight or Wednesday night, I can preach a little longer. The news of Jordan. Sometimes you've got to cut the news of Jordan off. The news of Jordan. You know, I'm a statistics guy. I think it's very important that we know where we are. But you know, sometimes I just got to disconnect from the news of Jordan because it's bad. I mean, it's real bad. But now on the news of Jordan, watch this. There is the nature of Jordan. It's swelled out and it looks big. You know what I've noticed that the devil will do? The devil will show you your Jordan and show you a sight, and he will convince you that you can't get over it. And then when that happens, depression comes in. Oh, bad attitudes come. Muffin grubs come in. Can I tell you, not on the news of Jordan, but the nature of Jordan, it looks big. Thirdly, the noise of Jordan. What y'all don't realize is this. We used to have a place at Lake Wedowee. Brother Mike, I can remember a flood came and the river got up. And people's boat docks come unhooked from the banks. And you could look out that cabin window that we had and you see a whole boat and boat dock going down the river. You could look. I remember I went out and I told Mr. Lazwell, get out of my boat and go out the river that morning. I noticed, Brother Mike, I was dodging trees and I looked and, I mean, trees was just rushing down the river. You never heard such a noise of Jordan in all of your life. Can I tell you, our Jordan experiences, not only the news of it and the nature, but the noise of it. My goodness, I don't preach on Kubota tractors all morning. I'm just telling you where I live. I'm getting my Kubota tractor and the noise of Jordan floods my soul. You know what it's doing? It's hollering, boo, preacher. Boo, preacher. It ain't going to work. It's over, preacher. Can I tell you, it ain't over till God. And He's doing that morning, hallelujah. The noise, the rumbling noise. Can you imagine as some 3 million encamped and they heard the noise of this Jordan? I mean, they were like, are you kidding me? How do we get across that? Mom and daddies, you kids get way out in the world. They do things you're not pleased. How do we get across this Jordan with our family? Down at my work, my bosses went crazy. Nobody cares about me. How do I get past this Jordan? Well, I want to give you something that they had. Preaching on moving forward. This stated truth. This specific time. This sober task. The news of Jordan. The nature of Jordan. It's big. It's ugly. The noise of Jordan. It roars. It roars. But not... Watch this in verse 2. Verse 2 is so loaded. Look at all this in verse 2. There's a stated truth. There's a specific time. There's a sober task. But look at verse 2. There's a strict togetherness. A strict togetherness. God's not only talking to Joshua, but He says this. Arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people. Can I tell y'all, we're in this together? And we need each other. I don't want to labor on this. I'll hit it passing. But I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I wasn't concerned of the people that was here. Now they'll never be here. I'm not talking about people that have underlying conditions and can't come. I totally understand that. But I'm talking about families that used to come on Sunday morning. Now they've got a habit. They'll no longer have that discipline to come to the house of God again. They've been knocked out through this transition. I ask y'all this. We have families that I've called and I've reached and I've reached and they don't reach back. What do you do? So I wouldn't be much of a pastor if I wasn't concerned about people and you and your children. I wouldn't be much of a preacher if I wasn't concerned in the day and hour that we're living. This strict togetherness. See, there we see the needs of everyone. Some of them people that would come here on Sunday morning, them little children, they didn't think they were amounting to much, but they have no idea what kind of encouragement they were giving to other people. The strict togetherness. And I want to say something. You don't have to be here, but yet you can be here. A strict togetherness. Well, what do you mean by that, preacher? You can still keep praying. You can still keep giving to the ministry. You can still text some people, encourage some people, and do what you can. There was a strict togetherness. Thou and all the people, we've got to realize things have changed. They're ever changing. And we must arise and shine for the honor and the glory of God. a strict togetherness, the needs of everyone. Secondly, the deeds of everyone. There's something you can do. You may be at home today and physically you can't come to our service, but did you know something? There are some things you can contribute to our togetherness. Pray for people. Check in on people. Encourage people. Invite people. Y'all act like that ain't too good a preaching about in Georgia this morning, but it's still right kind of preaching. A strict togetherness. Look, thou and all this people, the needs of everyone, the deeds of everyone. Now, I want to say this, and I want everybody to get it. I'm about done preaching. The heeds of everyone. Through this transition, this moving forward, this strict togetherness, there was the needs of everyone, the deeds of everyone, but now the heeds of everyone. And Brother Jody Harrison made this statement this morning when he and I was talking, and I penned this down. The heeds of everyone. And I wrote this down. I appreciate Brother Jody today. Carefully committed. The heeds of everyone. Carefully committed. You know, it does me good to see you this morning that you're willing to do what you need to do in our heeding. I mean, I appreciate family saying, "Preacher, whatever we need to do, just tell us, man. We just want to be a part." The heeds of everyone. And I want to say something today. It does us good to be carefully committed. We need to stay safe. We need to have good common sense. If, you know, a lot of people say, "Well, I trust God and I believe God, I do too." But if you go out yonder and you lay down on that yellow line, you know what? Somebody's going to run over you. These young boys got these stickers on front of the truck. "Ain't scared." I said, "You ain't 60 yet." So carefully committed. I want to ask you today. You can still be together and be carefully committed. Keep praying. Keep participating online. Moving forward. Stated truth. I'm about done. I know some of you glad. Stated truth. Pacific time. Sober tasks. A strict togetherness. The needs of everyone. And we need everybody. The deeds of everyone. And the heeds of everyone. But lastly, verse 5, look at their strong testimony. Their strong testimony. Verse 5, he says this, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Look what he said. "Be strong and of good courage. For in this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear in their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong," and underline this, "very courageous, that thou mayest observe do according to all that the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right nor to the left." This strong testimony. Bear with me. Notice in verse 5, he says, "I was with Moses." Has anybody ever experienced God that was with you? "I was with Moses." He said he won't fail and he won't forsake. Not only does he say "I was," but he said "I will." I'm glad to know there's somebody with us this morning. As the songs were sung today and the Spirit of God confirmed in my heart, I sure am glad He's with us. When I'm in that old tractor going down, I got a CD of the servers playing, that old bluegrass gospel. I'm glad the Lord will fill that cab. I can take my Bible out and read a word in that cab, and in the presence of God confirms that He's still with me. God's not left this church. Family, God's not left you. Young people, God's not left you. He will never forsake you. He will never fail you. And thirdly, He will never forget you. I heard a song this morning. If it matters to you, it matters to God. I'm glad it does. Now, I want you to notice this. Look what He tells them. Be strong and of good courage. Why would He say that? Could it simply be this? When He told them to be strong, could it be that they felt weak? Has anybody ever felt weak when they need to be strong? He said, be very courageous. Could it be that He was frightened? Could it be? Sure, He was human. Be not dismayed. Could it be that He was wondering or doubting? But God sent Him a word and said, listen, I'm not asking you to do nothing by yourself. Oh, I don't know if you're getting it today. Courage. Listen to this, I'm done preaching. Courage. Be very courageous. Could it be that Joshua was afraid? Fear is not all bad, it'll make you faint. Courage. Listen, courage is what it takes to stand up and speak. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. Can I say that? Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak, but courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. I need to read that again because we've got so many rednecks down and bowed. Courage is what it takes to stand up and speak, but courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. You cannot swim for new horizons until you have courage to lose sight of the shore. We've been teaching Sailor Reese to swim this year. Last year, there at the pool, she'd do this right here. She'd hang on to every edge. And all of a sudden, she done something. When they said, Ken, you know what Sailor Reese did today? She made her mind up she could swim. Now, that little long-legged thing run, y'all have seen her. She run and said, woo, and hit in that poo, and went to dog paddling the other side. Macy said, quit dog paddling, go to swim. I said, leave that grandbaby alone. At least she got her head above water. Somebody say amen. She made her mind up. She made her mind up that she could not go to new places until she's lost sight of the shore. Courage is not the absence of fear. Listen. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. Courage is not the absence of fear, but it's rather the judgment that something else is more important than fear. Let me explain. Why shouldn't we stand up and say what's going on today? Why shouldn't we be standing up for our lives? And by the way, blue lives matter. Amen. All lives matter. The devil would have us to be so fearful and try to be so politically correct that he'd just run us in a cave and we'll never say nothing as a Christian. Courage. Watch this. A ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are for. A ship is safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are for. We're to be a light to a lost and a dying world. Do you have any idea how many people are lost and undone without Jesus? Freedom lies in being bold. Did you know that? 4th of July. Freedom lies in being bold. Be bold, very courageous. Don't be mean to people. Stand your ground. Tell them Jesus saves. Laws are for a reason. Do what you can with what you have and where you are. Watch this. Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength. This is a great quote. Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. Being deeply loved by someone gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. Hey, Sophie, come here just a sec. Pop's about done preaching. Come here. I was talking about the day, Miss Sherry, and I seen Sophie come in. And Sophie's got a little look she can give me. You know, being deeply loved gives me strength. But when you deeply love something, it'll give you courage. You take a mama bear, run to her cubs, you know what she'll do? She'll stand for her cubs. Our church we love each other and that gives us strength. But because we love each other, that ought to give us courage that we stand up for what is right, preach this Bible, hold this bloodstained banner up and say, come one, come all, but we must all come by the way of the cross. I appreciate you being here this morning. I don't know if I can speak this loudly enough. Our Miss Sherry, come to the piano. There was a person that has watched our online service.